Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How are you today, Cody?
Great.
Boy, you're great, just like really the, sliding like back the, into that, just going to great. But I'm glad you're great.
I tried to do it like the Tony the Tiger great. I tried to roll the R in there, but it didn't work. So,
alrighty. Hey, what's our topic today, Cody?
The topic is the poachers are coming.
The poachers are coming, like the British are coming. That's right. You know, we talked about the war for talent in a few episodes back. There is a war for talent, and we need to play defense in that war and defend our teams and organizations. Whether you're a team leader and you've got people that on your team that could get poached, or whether you're the CEO and you don't want your organization to get poached. The competition is going to be fierce, and companies are going to be throwing a lot of money around trying to steal our best people. And the best defense of that isn't matching money for money, because that becomes ridiculous and it's not really what's necessary. The best defense is to create an atmosphere and management environment where your people aren't even going to think about leaving. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to prevent poachers from stealing your best people by really addressing the three things that your employees want more than anything else in order to stay at the organization. And this comes from the books. It's one book, but we changed the title, right, Cody?
And initially, it was called The Three Signs of a Miserable Job, but we had enough people email us and say, hey, my boss saw that on my desk and thinks that I'm quitting, you know? But it was really actually about the underlying concept. So we retitled it The Truth About Employee Engagement.
Right. And we're going to talk about that today, but we want to talk to you about it in terms of how it's going to help you create an environment that's almost impossible for people to pull your best employees out. Because if they're getting these three things, you're fine. And you can teach your managers to do these things, and you as a manager can do these things right away. And even though you haven't been doing them for the last couple of years, maybe, this can create an environment that's going to keep your best people.
And I think it's worth saying, Pat, that we did a while ago a podcast on these concepts, but there's some new ideas that we have around a couple of these concepts. And actually, I think the other thing that's worth saying is, you say this often when you introduce this, is these things are free and you can almost implement them immediately. So as we're thinking about this war for talent, a lot of people are going like, so, okay, let's raise our compensation package and let's get new benefits in here to try to attract people, or let's do a signing bonus. All of those things will take you longer and be less effective than the three free things we're about to talk about. And then we're going to tie it a little bit to like, here's exactly how you can appreciate and keep the people from these poachers. So I think it's really timely and really important.
And what I love about this is you can do it in a matter of days. Mm-hmm. All it requires is a little bit of courage and a little bit of vulnerability on the part of leaders and managers to be able to say, hey, I haven't done this in the past. I can't believe it, but I really want to do this now. So the first thing that your people need more than anything else is they're not going to leave an organization if they know that you know them, that you understand them and care about who they are. And when an employee says, my boss or the CEO of my small company or the pastor or the principal or the person I work for really knows me, they know who I am, they know what I'm trying to do in my personal life and my professional life. When they are known, they're like, well, the next place I go, they might not take an interest in me, because the truth is most managers don't. And mm-hmm. So this is the first thing we need to do, is to get to know who are they, what's going on in their lives. Now, Cody, we've talked about this before, but what we realized is we have a tool now that, and this is not a sales pitch, this is like the best way to get to know somebody is what?
Well, one of the ways, and the best way we think, is the working genius, understanding who they are and what they bring to the work. And I think this actually is a spillover between this one and the next one you'll cover. But before we get into that specific thing, I think there is a sign of the miserable job. The other way to say it, aside from being known, is if it's a miserable job, they feel anonymous, right? They aren't known. That's the opposite. But I think the other key here, to the reason this is timely and it's a little bit different context, is that we've gone to virtual work makes it so much harder. More and more people are feeling more anonymous than ever, because they're behind a Zoom screen. We don't have the water cooler conversations. We're not at the lunch table together. You need to make intentional time to, leaders and team leaders and managers need to make intentional time to say, hey, what's going on in your life? And I think the whole Zoom virtual work environment probably is leaving a lot of people feeling anonymous. And so, yeah, that is one part of that is knowing what they're bringing to the table, but it's also just a byproduct of this new work environment and the companies, managers, or team leaders that decide to make an effort to get to know their people. That's how you're going to retain your people. Because when someone comes knocking on the door, that idea that maybe I'll go somewhere else and they won't take that interest in me, that's worth more than money in some cases.
Absolutely. And a lot more, because it's more meaningful. And as we always say, money is a satisfier. You need enough of it to feel appreciated. It's not a driver, though. It's like, nobody's going to turn down more money, but it's not like, I just need more and more and more. But what you can't get enough of, or too much of, is your manager taking an interest in you as a person. And one of the reasons why managers don't do this is because they think, I'm too busy, or they think, well, that probably doesn't matter to that person if I know them. And so they just don't do it. And then when they finally hear this podcast or read the book or we talk to them about it, they think, well, gee, this person's worked for me for a year and a half. I've never really asked them about their family. I'm not going to do it now because I'm going to look like a fool.
Totally.
And we say, yeah, go look like a fool. Go say, you know something, Bob? You've worked with me for 18 months. And I realize I don't know what your kids do. And I don't know what's going on in your life. And I feel embarrassed for that. I want to fix that right now because I'm interested in knowing who you are. And so I'd appreciate it if you would share that with me and forgive me for being kind of too busy to take an interest in you. No employee is going to go, screw you, buddy. I'm out the door. They're going to go, sure. And then absolutely. Be willing to share things with them about you as well.
Yeah, I think that is, in fact, that actually might be more of an opportunity than, because that shows vulnerability too. And that's one of the things we talk about, is to go into that conversation, be vulnerable and say, hey, you've worked for me for so many years or months, or even maybe it's only months, and say, I haven't really ever asked you, what are your kids' names, or what do you do, or what are your aspirations? No one is going to have a negative response to that. So on one end, it's like the personal feeling known. But then I do think that this idea of, imagine your manager coming to you and saying, hey, I just discovered this working genius model, and it's not just a personality instrument. It's really about the type of work you enjoy. I really want to find that out about you so that I can put you in the best position. And then also appreciate, like, part of it is just appreciation. Now I know the type of work that you love to do, and I can even have more language for saying, like, hey, you're really good at this. And it gives me really specific ideas for how to encourage someone in the job that they're doing.
Right. Yeah. Think about that. You go to somebody and go, here's $25, or here's a pair of socks. Or you go, I'm investing this little $25 thing in you to take this, and I want to go over it with you. And I want to talk to you about your geniuses. And I want to talk to you about how that works in your life and in your job. That goes so far to making a person feel like, oh my gosh, my manager cares and knows me.
Yep.
Nobody wants to leave a job when that happens, because it's fairly rare. So that's the first one. Don't let your people be anonymous. Get to know them. Find out what makes them tick, what their geniuses are, what's going on in their life.
Absolutely. Okay.
The second thing people want, which is also free, is they want to know that their job matters, that it's relevant. Irrelevance is a job killer. When you feel like the job I do doesn't really matter to anybody, it doesn't change anyone's life, it doesn't make anyone's life better, I don't even know why I do this. So many people feel that way when they go to work, and it's just not true. Every job is probably impacting someone in a pretty important way. And as a manager, it's my job to sit down and talk to my people about whether or not they understand the importance of their job.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting, because there are some jobs where that's really obvious, or where it's kind of built into the job. And you talk about, whether you're a minister or a nurse at a hospital or something like that, it's really, or a teacher, hey, here's why your job matters. You know, these kids are learning. When you show up well and you work on your lesson plan, that has a direct impact to these kids' trajectory in their lives and success. Some of those are easy. And then more often than not, when people go, hey, this other job, I mean, it is, I know there's relevance in every job, but do I really have to tell a person that they're lower, you know, what would be considered like, I'll just give you an example rather than say that. We're hiring a person to basically come in and do office manager type stuff for us. And this was really actually fun to say in an interview, which I did 2 days ago, which was like, hey, let me tell you about why this job matters so much to us. And that is, yeah, you're going to be like getting washing cars sometimes, or you're going to be getting stuff for the office sometimes, but we only have 8 people that work at this company and we're trying to change the world of work. And so when we, the person that has this job that sometimes will get lunch for us or answer the phone for us or do some of these other things, what you're doing is actually allowing Pat and some of these other people, any of us would do that. Any of us would go get lunch because right. we want to hire humble people and hungry people. But when you do that, it allows us to be focused almost exclusively on the work that we have. And we think this job is as relevant to changing the world of work as any of the jobs in our office. You know, exactly. that is a total, you could do that one of two ways. I could have said, yeah, you're going to be getting berries at the store. Or you can say, hey, here's why this role actually matters to the big picture. And both of those are free. And one of them is really effective.
Did you say getting berries?
Yeah, just, I mean, they
do like berries in the office. Yeah, berries. Toilet paper and berries. That's what we need. But you know, I remember hearing this story, and the thing is, it's got to be true, and it is true. There was a guy who was a gardener at one of the high tech companies years ago, and he was like, "What do you do?" And he was like, "I'm a gardener." And one day, one of the people who worked at the company, executives, called him aside and said, "Hey, do you work on these flower beds outside here?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you know how often I look at those and I think, man, God is good. And I feel so inspired by this. And it's beautiful. And somebody cares enough to make this way. It makes me work harder. I have to stay late. And it really brings me joy." Huh. And the guy went home and this kid said, "What do you do, Dad?" And he goes, "I help people at my office feel joy when they have to work hard by making their environment beautiful." Mm. Now, that's not a bunch of BS. Because somebody said to him, that matters. Everybody's yeah. job matters. And so many people think, oh, nobody really cares if I do a good job.
Yeah. And honestly, this is the other place where I feel like the working genius spills over. And again, I don't want it to sound pretty much if you're in a conversation with me lately.
Yeah. We're not trying to sell people.
But you get what you get with me. I love Working Genius, so I talk about it like my wife would do the same thing. You can roll your eyes, but let me tell you why Working Genius has a has an effect here too. Is because Working Genius, what it does is like you get to tell that person, if you know what their working geniuses are, you get to say, "Hey, here's what you're doing for our team that is really, really important and that I know you love and that I know you take pride in. Like you're an inventor. We love when you invent for our team." Or, "Hey, you're a galvanizer and what you do to stir up the momentum around our projects is really, really meaningful." Or, "Hey, you have enablement. It's so important that like you're the glue that helps us feel like we're not in silos." That is relevant too. It's not about the task that they're doing. It's about how they show up on the team and what they bring to the table.
You know what I was thinking about that? Imagine this. You have a gardener that works for you and he has invention as his genius. And you could say to him, "You know something? I want you to come up with a new way to make this area look beautiful. I want to give you the authority to invent a new way to make this whole, the grounds of our place." This guy's going to be like, "Oh my gosh, I get to use my genius and they care about what I do." That guy's not leaving.
Nope.
You know? But if we don't know our people, the first one, if they feel anonymous and we don't know who they are and we don't know how to make their job relevant to them, basically, they're going to go wherever they're going to get paid a little bit more money.
Totally. And I think to bring it back to this, like, don't get poached or the poachers are coming, you know, that whole concept is, I have actually done a number of interviews recently and in the search for this person. And I remember of all of them, I've actually had them take the Working Genius in advance because I'd talk about the type of work they'd enjoy. And one interview, this woman was fantastic. We didn't end up going with her for different reasons. She was wonderful. But at the end of the interview, this is what she said to me is like, "I have never been a part of an interview like this. You asked me, the first question I asked her was, tell me about your family. Who are you?" Before we got into her work experience. And by the end of the interview, we had gone over her working genius. She learned a little bit more about herself. And she's like, "You know, even if I don't get this job, this made me realize that there are companies out there that are really worth working for." And so if you're on the other side of that equation, know that there are companies who are going to come poach. And if they use these three things to entice the people out of an organization that doesn't, that's going to be really an effective way to get all the best people into an organization. You know,
these first two, I think, are the most important. If a person is known and they know why their job matters, they're going to want to stay there. The last one is good too. It's the hardest one for me. And that's, give them some means of assessing for themselves whether or not they're being successful. Help them, and it's not always a metric or an easy measurement, but just say, here's how you're going to know whether you're doing a good job. You don't always just have to go to your boss and say, hey, do you think I'm doing a good job? Do you like me? And yeah. So to whatever extent you can help a person see in some sort of evidence that they are actually making a difference, that's something huge that sets one job apart from another.
Right. That's another thing. You're right. It's kind of tricky because it's not necessarily like in sales, it's maybe a number, but not every job is clear cut that way. And that's not even really the best measure of it. Even a sales job, potentially, there might be a better way to do that. But it is real. This one can be tricky, but when you figure it out and a person can go home at the end of a day and not have to check in with you as their manager to say, how do you feel like I did today? And go home to their spouse and say, I did great today. And it's not because nobody or somebody told me about it, is that I know how to assess for myself that I'm doing a great job.
You know what you can do to do this is you can sit down and ask them, have a conversation, say, let's figure out together how you can know whether you're being successful. What do you think? Do you think it should be an informal survey of the people you're working with? Is there something else? And involving them in that process only makes it that much more real.
Yeah.
You know what I really want to say to our listeners today, Cody, is if you want to prevent your people from getting poached or you don't want to have to worry about it, go now and have a 45-minute conversation with all of your people and say to them, in the first 15 minutes, I just want you to know that I'm interested in you and I want to know more about what's going on with you. Let's go over your working genius or let's do that. The second 15 minutes, say, now I want to talk to you about what you do, why your job matters to somebody, me as your boss or your customers or other people in the organization. How do you think you're impacting their lives? And at the end, just say, let's do this together. In 45 minutes, they will go home. And I promise you, they're going to say to their family members, oh my gosh, I just had the coolest conversation with my manager. But you have to have the courage as a manager to know that it matters, that even if you haven't been doing it in the past, they'll forgive you for it. And nobody thinks this is corny. Just yep. Be authentic, be passionate, and you are going to make your employees poach resistant.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I love about this, Pat, is almost every other, you know, I'm using air quotes, employee engagement program has to be approved at the, you know, by the CHRO, and they have to be, it has to be consistently rolled out to everybody. Any team leader that's listening to this can go, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go sit down with my employees. There's no approval process. There's no, again, they're all free. And like that old saying that people leave managers, not companies, like I do think that there's something to that. And I think that the managers that are retaining their people are the ones who do these things really well. Sometimes they do it out of intuition, you know, but there is a system. Here it is, you know, the three signs of a miserable job: irrelevance, not knowing why your job matters. Or I guess the first one we covered would have been anonymity, not being known; irrelevance, not feeling like you're not knowing how your job matters to someone else; and a word you made up, immeasurement. You know, hey, how do I measure for sure that I'm doing a good job? If you do those three things, implement tomorrow, like you said, kind of poacher proof.
Yep. Let's say you have 8 employees that work for you. You know, in less than a day, and I've done it when we were writing this book, you can do this and watch the morale in your organization shoot upward in less than a day. And you will save so much time and energy. Now, I have to say, I'm really bad at the last one. So I need some more help with that. So I don't want to be the cobbler's, my children without shoes, but.
You know, Pat, I actually, one thing you say about this book all the time that I'll say at the end is, you say, hey, if I had written this book first, we would have been an employee engagement company, because there is so much opportunity in this space. And it's such a good model for people to embrace that you're probably right. If we had done this book first, the demand would have been there. We would have built out all these programs around this. And so don't waste this. This is good stuff to engage your employees and make sure the poachers don't get them.
Do it now before the end of the year so you can start your year off on the right foot. All right. That's what it is. Don't let your people get poached, and the poachers are coming, and be resistant. Right. And then when you go out and want to poach other people's, take an interest in those people and show and tell them about your culture, and you're going to have an easy time dislodging them from the organizations where they're at. All right. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. God bless you all.